Hey guys, welcome back to the Beyond Forgiveness podcast. I'm your host, Alex Christine. And before we dive in today to our scripture reading, I want to give you a few little contextual contextual background about this text so it makes a little bit more sense since I'm not going to read the whole Bible here. Anyway, in the Old Testament, if you are familiar with the Bible, there's a man named Jacob, and Jacob has a son named Joseph, and Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery, and I think the accounts in here say that this is because his brothers were jealous of him, so they enslave him. He eventually ends up being incarcerated and over false accusations, and he is set free, so that's where we're going to pick up. After burying Jacob, Joseph returned to Egypt with his brothers and all who had accompanied him to his father's burial. But now that their father was dead, Joseph's brothers became fearful. "Now Joseph will show his anger and pay us back for all the wrong we did to him," they said. So they sent this message to Joseph. "Before your father died, he instructed us to say to you, 'Please forgive your brothers for the great wrong they did to you, for their sin is treating you so cruelly. So we, the servant of God, of the God of your father, beg you to forgive our sin.' When Joseph received the message, he broke down and wept. Then his brothers came and threw themselves down before Joseph. 'Look, we are your slaves,' they said. But Joseph replied, 'Don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? You intended harm to me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. No, don't be afraid. I will continue to take care of you and your children.' So he reassured them by speaking kindly to them."
Okay, so the topic of today's episode is, I'm just going to go with unexpected blessings. I think that's the best way to describe it. Kind of like what we just read, where Joseph forgives his brothers, they're begging, you know, they throw themselves down, and they're like, "Please forgive us," and he's like, "Am I God that I can punish you? No." So he says and reassures them with his kind words that he will take care of them. But what's interesting is that while he was being enslaved by his brothers, and while he was imprisoned after being falsely accused, you know, you would think in that situation, because that went on for many, many years, like I think 20, 30, I'm not going to get that correct, so you can look that up yourself, but for quite a while, he was suffering in this way, and you could maybe see how that would bring him down, maybe make him lose faith a little bit. But what happened is when he returns to his brothers, he's ready to extend the same grace and mercy to them that God had given to him. He was able to see that what he had received from God was lovingly and happily, joyfully giving it to others, his brothers. So I think the unexpected blessing in that is that, you know, after all that time, in the end, when it's over, he gets to experience this blessing and reconciliation with his family, and he's set free. And I just think that's very beautiful that he says, "What you intended for evil, God intended for good. What you meant for evil, God," whatever. I got it right the first time, I think. But anyway, so I guess let's just dive in now. So yeah, after he is set free, so he rises in power to leadership and becomes a powerful leader in Egypt. So, and his position allows him to save his family from the famine that was going on during that time. And again, Genesis 50:20 says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good." Another example of this in the Bible is Ruth and Boaz, where unexpected blessings happen. You know, as a widow, first of all, she decides to stay with her mother-in-law, Naomi. Naomi and Ruth have this interesting dynamic. After Ruth loses her husband, Naomi also had lost her husband, so they're both widows, and Ruth... this is where you hear the famous line, "Where you go, I will go, and your God will be my God. Where you stay, I will stay." And so I think that's very, very beautiful, because in that brokenness, like not even being able to imagine the loss of that kind of loss, like as a true widow, someone who's been
you know, married and stuck with the family and everything, and continues to stick with Naomi, who really isn't even her own blood family. So, so I think that's really, sorry, my little cat feeder is going off. It distracted me. Anyway. So Ruth, as she's following Naomi, ends up gleaning a field. Basically, the poor people or widows, people who couldn't afford food, would, when people were harvesting their crops, anything left behind, the people who were poor or widows would be able to follow and pick up what they didn't get, kind of what was left over. So she is now gleaning this field, getting food for her family, her and Naomi. And it's interesting because she meets a man named Boaz in that. So she has this very lowly position, and there's a man named Boaz also who is working in the field. Essentially, they end up getting married after a while of the back and forthness, kind of. But they eventually end up getting married, and in that time, someone who would marry a widow and like help provide for the family would be called the redeemer of the family. So Boaz becomes her kinsman redeemer, and she becomes then part of the lineage of David, which leads to Jesus, which is just, you know, as a poor, you know, a widow and gleaning the fields, getting just what's left behind. I'm sure during that time she's not thinking, wow, this is, you know, she's probably not thinking that this is a blessing, though she might, because, you know, at that point you're very grateful for anything you get. But to see how much bigger, how much work God was doing in her patience and in her care for Naomi. So I think that's really beautiful, because she was rewarded for that and blessed by God. She was blessed by God in doing so. So yeah, Ruth 2:12 says, "May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." And this was Ruth saying this to Boaz because she had redeemed her family line. And yeah, another contextual reference of this is the story of the widow's oil in 2 Kings chapter 4 verses 1 through 7. The context is that a widow is facing debt and despair and is given instructions by Elisha to gather jars and pour her small amount of oil into them. So she has some debts that need to be paid, and she has nothing. She has basically nothing. She has a little tiny bit of oil in a jar. Elisha, in telling her to do so and her following what he says, because Elisha was a prophet during that time, so she's asking him, you know, what do I do? And he instructs her to, I can actually just read it. It's pretty short. So, "The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord, but now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves.' Elisha replied to her, 'How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?' 'Your servant has nothing there at all,' she said, 'except a small jar of olive oil.' Elisha said, 'Go around and ask your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside, shut the door behind you and your sons, pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side.' She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, 'Bring me another one.' But he replied, 'There is not a jar left.' Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, 'Go, sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left.'" Imagine that, being in a huge scramble to, you know, you're a widow now, your husband can't really help with much, so, and now you're afraid you might lose your sons, so you're scrambling around in that. You are not expecting a blessing, you're just kind of in the moment. It's almost like being in that fight or flight, or just like being constantly, or being like in panic mode almost, so you're not expecting something good to happen. You're like, I gotta make this work, I gotta do this, I gotta make this work. But she just follows the instructions of the prophet Elisha. This oil multiplies, which explains how, it's really how blessings work. You know, just a little bit can lead to an abundance of blessing. Not always, and it might not always look like what we think it looks like. So to her, she's probably not thinking, oil was probably a huge commodity during that time, so it would be worth something. But you know, if that's all you have and all you have is a little drop, I mean, I would be a little worried. So trusting in that and walking faithfully in that, even though you might have some wrestles, some doubts, and worried still until you see the outcome. But hope is not based on that. Hope is based on what we can't see. And oftentimes at the end of a really long, sometimes it's a really long struggle, like in the case of Joseph, sometimes it's, I mean, I'm not sure how quick the thing, how fast this thing happened with the widow's olive oil, but even Ruth and Boaz, you know, she didn't just become a widow and the next day marry Boaz. I mean, she went through seasons of mourning, I'm sure. And so Naomi, actually, her mother-in-law, renamed herself Tamara because it means bitter. And she said, because the Lord has made me bitter. So it's just really interesting and beautiful to see the way God will work sometimes in situations where we're not even expecting it. We're not looking for it. But that is also where I think hope can come into play, because when you've been walking with Jesus for a while, you start to see him in everything. You start to see him every day. I think for me personally, I experience a lot of daily reminders of just God is with me, and it brings peace and comfort to my heart. And I might be down on my hope, but my hope is in Jesus Christ alone, not things that I might be looking for. And that's another reason why blessings can seem unexpected, because sometimes a blessing is actually just a no from God. It's God saying no to something that you might want, because he knows what you need. And I would much rather surrender to that than try to fight my way to get what I want. And it's much more peaceful to live in surrender to that. While it is very difficult and trying, I think God provides us with what we need during that time to get through it. And the Bible says that he will not he won't give us more than we can handle, but something along the lines of that he will not try or he will not test us more than we can handle, or without providing, not allow us to be tempted more than we can handle, without providing some other way out as well too. I just think that's really awesome, really cool, like to think of from that perspective of like a blessing not even looking like what you think it might be, or you might not even be in a place where you're expecting one to come, because you're so, you know, if you're poor in spirit, or you're in a place of season of mourning or something, you know, I think that causes quite a bit of, that can cause a little bit of, it opens the door for the enemy to come in and make you doubt, basically. And it's really, really awesome to be able to know, like, have God's word written on your heart by him alone, because he will oftentimes provide me with words of comfort, and even when I'm going through something or I don't feel like he's near and stuff. So just very beautiful. Wow, that actually segues really nice into the second part, which is the principles of recognizing and receiving unexpected blessings. So number one would be trusting God's timing. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. So waiting on, and that, it just shows how waiting on God's timing can lead to these unexpected blessings, an overflow, a multiplication, you know, just, it might just be a season. And I've started to use that word a bit more recently, or in recent years, because it's important to remember that this isn't forever. This is not my permanent home. This is not forever. I'm not going to be experiencing this forever. He has gotten me through this before. He will get me through it again. A few years ago, I was in a car accident, and my car flipped over and rolled an unknown number of times. And my car upside down. I got out of my car, and I don't think I had a scratch on me. And I have struggled in the past with I have struggled in the past with some thoughts of not wanting to be alive. God, no matter how much I've, like, and most days I wake up and I think, ugh, why did I wake up again? But, because some people really wake up with that attitude of gratitude, and it is so awesome. Like, I love hearing from people like that, and just being around people who have that gift, and just wake up with so much happiness and excitement and joy in their hearts and are ready to take on the day and stuff. A lot of times whenever I wake up, I'm kind of like, another day. Why did I wake up again? And I have to remind myself about how all the times that car accident was a very minor thing compared to some of the other stuff that I've experienced, but physically impacted, you know, on my body, like a physical impact to my body where I really could have, maybe should have died. God kept me alive, and he kept me alive for a reason. So I have to trust his timing and surrender to his timing. And not at this point in my life, I don't struggle with the thought of taking life into my own hands. But I can say that growing up, I didn't necessarily feel the same way. And a lot of it is seeing, because some people think it's like a focus on depression, or it's a focus on all the negative experiences you've had, or yada yada. Well, first of all, PTSD and like early childhood trauma actually does change the literal way your brain works. Its shape, its the functioning changes everything. So that's a whole different thing. But yeah, essentially, I don't really know where I was going. Basically, looking back and seeing, having to remind myself constantly of like, I'm obviously here for a reason. I have been through these things where I thought I was going to die, should have died, whatever, and he keeps waking me up, and there's a reason for that, so I'm just going to walk in that. And it's not that I don't have hope for the future, I do, but my hope is in Jesus, not in earthly things. So seeing the brokenness around, like, I think a lot of times sadness is caused by realistic things. It's like, this has happened, you can't say that something hasn't happened. It's just reality is reality. Obviously not focusing on the brokenness, but some people are actually, I would say, even gifted with the ability to mourn over that and pray and just plead with God to come back, like to return, like Maranatha. And it's good to just surrender to his will and his timing, even when we don't understand, maybe when we're not expecting a blessing. But that's how God works. As we can see in the Bible, it's how he works. He does give blessing and he does multiply. I mean, when Job, who was innocent, when everything was taken away from him, after that, after he had suffered and really wrestled with God for a while, well, he never really blamed God, but he did start saying that he hated, like, it's either Job or Jeremiah, but hated the day that he was born. And God kind of rebukes him. That's a hard one. But yeah, I'm going to have to cut some of this because I am taking a little bit slower, but I want to be careful and cautious when I talk about these things. So bear with me, please. But yeah, once after Job had been through all of that, God doubled. He gave him twice what the enemy had taken from him. And so again, that was so beautiful. And I'm sure during that time of loss and mourning and pain and sickness that he did not think he might have felt a little hopeless, to be honest. I'd say we all might feel that way in a situation like that. And so just to remember that God does work in a way that he's going to take us to the other side. He does bless us, but it might not always look like what we think. As I said earlier, sometimes that looks like a no. Sometimes it looks like a not now, or a not here, or not this person. Sometimes it looks like removing someone from your life and then placing someone new in your life. And it's really cool when you understand sometimes why that happened. And it's like, oh, well, this person actually is like kind of sharpening me. Or just, there are just many, many things that, I mean, my personal, sometimes we can relate to each other, to one another's experiences, but I think generally we can all kind of relate to that in a way. So of just being able to recognize and see that oftentimes whatever it was we were super worried about ends up working out. And you can say that's from whatever, but I know that that's God. That is God. He was with me the whole time and he always provides. He really does. And there are times where it feels like you have nothing. Like Paul being in prison, how would that feel like a blessing? But he shared the gospel to people in prison while he was imprisoned. So, and many people were saved. So it's, and he actually, while he was there, also was able to write quite a bit to the churches. So another blessing that we're even able today to have that word, those words still from him and be comforted by that. Another would be being open to different forms of blessing, kind of like what I've been saying. But Isaiah 55:8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." And so then just recognizing that blessings don't really come in the way that we expect them to all the time. Here's the third point, would be having an attitude of gratitude. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Having a thankful heart can oftentimes help us see blessings in ways. It helps us to appreciate these unexpected blessings way more when we can see who the giver is of these blessings, and when we can see that. And it's honestly a beautiful reminder of, like, we are not our own gods. We are not in, I do not want to be my own God. I don't want what I want. I don't need the things that I want most of the time. Like, most of the times, the things I want are things that are going to be really bad for me in the long run. And except for Jesus, but he's the only one. And so just trusting in him, trusting in Jesus, trusting in God, and listening to the pulls of the Holy Spirit in my heart is helpful and just reminding me to, like, even though I might not be excited that I woke up or super happy, I do know that God has me here. He has given me so many blessings. The fact that, you know, people don't even think about it really, but, like, I used to get in my car and be like, just thankful that I had, you know, thankful that my AC was working when it was super hot this whole summer. Thankful right now, like, for this beautiful weather outside, but also thankful that I live on the second floor of an apartment, so this floor gets held, this floor is held up, you know? Just little things like that, like whenever I've been in lack of food and someone shows up with food, and that's not always how it happens. So this is not a prosperity gospel, and God is not a genie, but blessings do come from him alone, and they do not always look like what we think they're going to look like. So when we practice this attitude or this mindset of thankfulness towards the things he has done. Thank you for this food that I have. Thank you that I'm able to go to the bathroom in private. Thank you that I'm able to take a shower and have hot water. That I have a loving family that just showers one another with love and care and kindness and encouragement in Christ. And friends in the faith, just, you know, having gas in my car. I just think sometimes, and those are things, but also being thankful that I'm not in extreme pain right now. I'm typically in pain when I wake up, but I'm going to keep thanking God for what else he's given me. And if I don't have pain one day, I'm praising God about it. If I am not depressed one day, I am praising God about it. Having that attitude when God has given you the ability and given you the strength to kind of act that out, to truly practice thankfulness when he gives you the strength to, because sometimes, as I said, during times of, like, mourning or sorrow or, like, those seasons, they can be kind of blinding to our thankfulness for what he's already done and for what he's already saved you from. So, for instance, oftentimes I get a little frustrated that I'm not further along than I was when God drew me near. And I have to remember the horrible, horrible, horrible situation that he saved me from. Situations, plural, even after that, when I was still not quite right. He's still working on my mind. God is still working on my mind to be more in alignment with Christ, because sometimes we think of blessings even outward too, and it can just be wisdom, or it can just be peace. It can be having the gift of love. It can be, I think that a good way to sort of wrap up this conversation would be in letting you know that I am here as a Christian, as a believer in Christ. I mourn for the brokenness in this world and hope that, not try to remind you to stay strong, because I don't know that that's always helpful, but knowing that there are people who love you, whether or not you know it, regardless, God loves you, and that's what's the most important, and he is with you, and whether or not you expect a blessing to come out of a season of suffering, or whether or not you have lost hope in your situation or in your current struggle, you know. And I think if we all reflect on our own lives and look at all the great things he's done, just being reminded that he'll do it again and again and again, because that's the kind of God that we worship. So That's the kind of God we serve. He does not withhold blessing and love. He does not withhold love. Well, he actually blesses those who believe and who don't believe. So it's just really a matter of recognition on who the giver is. I think that's a really great time to wrap up. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I apologize. I did not post last week. I came down with a sickness and am starting to recover. So praise God, truly. I'll see you guys next time.